How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your single edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast in the summer. We're giving you one a week. I am Mark Heath, joined by my two best friends, Stuart Watson and Roscoe. Stuart, we'll come to you in a minute. Actually, let's start with you, Stuart. How are you? Because there's something we need to talk about with Roscoe, but let's get you involved first. Stuart, how are you? How's things? How are you enjoying the summer, the sun?
Enjoying it all. When you said the three best friends, that made me think of the scene from The Hangover. You know, we're the three best friends that anyone could have. That's us. Just what driving through the desert.
I'd like to go to Vegas with you. I'd put money on Rossi being the one who wakes up with a face tattoo.
100%.
Speaking of which, Rossi, we need to kick off. I mean, last night we were out for the Last Supper with Hutchie. He's kind of delayed leaving meal. So we went to the Maharani in Ipswich. And it was good. It's good to see everyone. We had a good time. You had a better time than all of us, I reckon, put together. Because you, my friend, were on it. You were on it like a car bonnet, sipping gin and tonic. You were, in the same time it took Stu to drink two pints of Cobra, you demolished four. And we're kind of tapping your fingers on the desk, waiting for Stewie to finish that second one, wondering if you get another one in. And then we departed about, I think it was about just gone 10 p.m. And you were kind of wobbling off down Norwich Road, informing us that you're going for another one, another pint somewhere. And you duly did put a picture of a San Miguel on Instagram. So how are you today, Ross? How's the head? And what did you get up to after you left us? Because we learned a lot about you last night. You were in sharing mode.
Yeah, I'm a very honest man when I drink a bit. I'm fine this morning, to be fair. Weirdly and stupidly, I woke up so early. I was like, what am I doing? I woke up at 6:30. I was like, and I couldn't get back to sleep. So
where did you go afterwards then? Where did you find yourself afterwards?
Well, I was going to meet up with a mate, but I missed my bus. Standard Ross. So I couldn't meet up with him in the end. So I just went.
How did you get home?
I had to wait an hour for the next bus.
Okay, right.
So I just basically went to the Plough. In Ipswich, just by myself, just drinking on a
summer's evening. Why not? Fine today. That makes me sick because if I had 5 pints or 6 pints, whatever many you had, I'd be in bits for a week.
Yeah, behind all this, I'm suffering. Like when we stop recording and when I come off this, I'll be like, oh, thank God that's gone. Oh, that's done now. That's out of the way for the day.
Are you sweating under there? Is that why you've got the tracksuit on? You've got the booze just seeping out of every pore in the heat.
Pretty much. But yeah, I'm still young to an extent, so I'm sure in a few years' time I will struggle. Although I will admit I was struggling in Manchester when we did the awards night. I know Stu, we went out.
Well, that's because you went out till 4 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, but at least Stu could eat and I couldn't eat. I just couldn't face it. And to be honest, I had breakfast this morning. I think that's another thing. Actually, I can't face eating at the moment.
You famously, of course, left your door open all night. I mean, literally open in Manchester for anyone just to wander in if they fancied it. Stewie, it's good night, though, wasn't it? Good to see Hutchie.
It was good to see Hutchie. I was playing golf yesterday, so I didn't see his interview with Connor Chaplin.
Yeah.
Came up on Twitter, but I had a little look at that this morning. And I was amused by all the comments underneath. The KOA army never let us down. I wonder if you were new to Ipswich Town, it's lucky it wasn't a new signing, because all the comments underneath was, I recognise that voice. That's Hutchie. What on earth is going on? Who's this Hutchie character?
Oh, dear. That made me a bit sad when that dropped. And I heard Hutchie's voice behind the camera for the first time. Maybe even sadder when I had to sit and transcribe all the quotes as well. That may be pretty sad. But Hutchie, I know you're still listening. Lay up questions, mate. Come on. Let's start getting some hard questions in there for these players. Come on. That's another thing you told us last night. I haven't listened to the pod since. Not on it, not interested. Right then, friends. Let's get into a midweek summer pod then. We're going to talk first of all, obviously, about the news from this week, which is good news. New deals for two key players. Connor Chaplin, new three-year deal, and then followed by Massimo Luongo, a new one-year deal yesterday. Do you want to kick us off with this, Stewie? Good news, clearly. Are you more excited, enthused, engorged by one or the other?
Connor Chaplin's obviously great news, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was heading into his final year of his contract. I wrote in that piece about players that should be getting new deals this summer that I'd be staggered if it wasn't a three-year deal in the offing for Connor, and that's proved to be the case. It's the whole package with him, isn't it? It's what he does on the pitch as well as what he's doing off it in terms of the community work and really buying into the club, the community, everything. So, yeah, great. That's great news. Not surprising, given what they'd done with Wes Burns and Luke Wolfenden quite early in the summer last year. Luongo on a one-year deal was quite interesting, the fact it was only one and not longer. I guess maybe it'd be interesting to see whether that's club or player kind of leading that, whether it's Massimo sort of wanting to sort of not tie himself into something too long, or the club maybe being a little wary of some of his injury problems of the past as well. Probably a combination of both, but to get both players sorted relatively early in the summer is great news.
Yeah, my thought straight away when I saw the 1 year for Luongo was it has to be because it's reflective of his injury history, and also obviously Rossi, he's approaching, I think he's actually at your cutoff point, so the club have paid heed to that and said, sorry mate, only one more year, you'll be over 30 this time next year, you're out the door. What did you make of it, Rossi? Is either of those two you think is more important than the other?
It's unbelievable news, really. I think they're both have got their own story, haven't they? You know, Connor Chaplin, goal scorer, you know, good character, you know, with the foundation he does, you know, just a top bloke all round. Massimo just came in and transformed that midfield. It was, of course, very good anyway with Sam Morsy and Cameron Humphreys and Domball and Lee Evans and such. But he completely transformed that midfield when he came in. And I think a one-year deal is, I think I will bring out the age. It's not because of my thing. I think it's going to be 31 in September. And I think you don't want to, because if he does get that injury, there's not really an asset there, if you know, with Luongo. Mm. I don't know, in terms of, you know, once again, players, sales and stuff, you know, if he had sign a three-year deal like Connor Chaplin did, you know, and he does well, will a club want to spend millions and millions on a 31, 32-year-old at that stage? So maybe that's now I'm thinking of the one-year deal. But now I'm really pleased. I think we're all, you know, we're pleased when the retain list came out and Massimo Luongo was there in talks of the contracts, and it was just the waiting game, really. So great news all round. Bring on more contracts, please, because there's a few other players who are, you know, got 1 year left. Sam Morsy, of course. Bring it on.
Who else was on your list, Stu? Obviously, the club are ticking them off one by one. Who else was on your list?
Morsy would be the next big priority for me. Yeah. And I know Ross kind of half-jokingly talks about the age thing, but I just think in this day and age with sports science and just in general, you look at elite athletes making still performing at the very top with Ibrahimovic, Ronaldo, other sports as well, Federer.
Tom Brady.
Exactly. So, you know, Tom Brady stuff's involved with Ipswich. So, And Sam Morsy is the epitome of a, you know, top pro who looks after himself right. So I wouldn't be thinking twice about the length of a contract for someone like Sam Morsy, who's 31. I think he's potentially his best years are still ahead of him. So he'd be one. He was in the same boat as Connor heading into the last year of his contract. Not clear whether there's a 12-month extension clause on top of that. Who else did I have on there? I think Leif Davis. You know, he's only 1 year into his, I think it was a three-year deal that he signed last year, but he's one that if he continues to kick on in the way that I think he can and has a really good season in the Championship, you don't want to risk suddenly leaving yourself exposed. Say Ipswich finished, for argument's sake, in mid-table and Leif Davis was a standout player, then he's going into the last year of his contract and you could leave yourself in a bit of a vulnerable situation there. So it might be prudent for them to start thinking ahead a little bit with Leaf. I can't remember who else I put on there, to be honest. I think I put Idris Elmizuni on that list as well, actually, who is might surprise you, but he's someone that if you are going to loan him out again, that sort of mentally softens the blow for him, because it's we're sending you out again, but we do think a lot of you and we do think you still potentially have a future there. But yeah, Chaplin and Morsi were the two big ones for me.
Well, things are starting to roll again now after that dead quiet period in football. We get some new contract news, obviously. Next week we get the fixtures. The kit's got to be soon, hasn't it? Because they can't play the first friendly of the season without releasing the kit. Players are back week on Monday, the 26th. So things are starting to roll again. So let's hope for a bit more news out the club as well, contract-wise, maybe in the next few days. It is, of course, Stu, as well today. The transfer window has swung wide open before it slammed shut September the 1st. And we had a decent little update on a midfielder that Town have been in for many times from our old friend Barry Fry, Jack Taylor. He's saying that Town tried to sign him three times and he expects them or are in for them again this summer.
Yes. I think this might be Mr. Fry and Peterborough just trying to whip up a bit of interest. I haven't listened to all of the Darren McAntony podcasts since they missed out on promotion, but the bullet points of it seem to be that there's going to be a big shake-up there. There's going to be a lot of players sold, that they're going to rebuild and do what Peterborough always do pretty well and try and find some younger hidden gems to develop and sell on at a profit further down the line. So they kind of do their own thing in terms of publicly transfer listing players when they go into the final year of their contract. So yeah, I think this is them maybe trying to whip that up. I wouldn't necessarily say that this is Ipswich still, wouldn't take it as read that this is Ipswich still kind of actively showing their interest now. They might be, but just because they were interested in January doesn't mean that they're interested again now. Obviously, they went and signed Massimo Luongo after those Taylor bids were knocked back. Massimo, as we've just discussed, is staying. They're well stocked in central midfield. I still think there might be another central midfielder added to the mix. But I don't know if it will necessarily be Jack Taylor. I'm not saying it definitely won't be. But I wouldn't take it completely as read that just because Barry Fry said that Ipswich is still like pushing hard for Jack Taylor.
Scandalous. Rossi, if it is Jack Taylor, let's for argument's sake say it is Jack Taylor. Are you happy with that? Would you like that? What do you reckon he'd bring to the team?
Yeah, he's, you know, maybe he hasn't really stood out when he's played against us because, you know, last year we beat Peterborough twice. But he's a player who's played Championship football. He's a good age. He's got a good background, of course, because he was at Chelsea, got released, went to Barnet and had to go up the non-league route, and he's done really well there. So, yeah, I like him. You know, can score a few goals as well. So, yeah, if it comes off, then perfect. Because once again, it's got that asset there that Mike Ashton likes. I'm sure he's got, you know, that's why McKenna likes him as well. But he's 24, young, hungry, I'm sure. So, yeah, if it happens, it happens.
Ticking all the bits on the data dashboard.
McKenna did have, it was noticeable that Kieran went and had a little word with him on the pitch after the last time they played Peterborough. You can sometimes see that with managers, go and have a little wry smile and a little word in the ear as if to say, maybe we'll talk again in the summer sort of thing. But we've talked about midfield a lot, haven't we, on this podcast? Eight of them in there with the players coming back from loans, and they've got to sort of unpick a little bit of that if they are to add to it. But I'm interested to see how this whole midfield thing unravels, develops.
Excellent segue, Stu, because the next thing I want to do is throw some names around. We know people at this time of year want names. Who are we going to sign? Give me some names. Now, obviously, we can't say directly that these are players that are even on Town's radar, but you've done a little bit today looking at potential targets. Your own data dashboard, I guess. midfielders that would fit the bill for Town. Do you want to throw some names out there and we can have a little chat around them just to get people excited?
A poor man's data dashboard. I'm not gonna say there's any kind of great bit of software built behind it. It's literally just you can just go through squad lists and work out, right, okay, you go through the retain lists, 12-month option taken. How many games did that player play? They played 46 games and were named player of the year, but the club's only taken a 12-month extension option. That says to me that said player didn't want to negotiate new deals, so they've just taken their option to protect the asset, and now they're pretty exposed to losing that player. The scenarios that we just outlined with why Ipswich need to maybe look at someone like Leif Davis, for example. So you start to pick out some names like that, and then you can then go, well, do they need a player in that position? No, let's rule him out. Does he fit the kind of style of McKenna football? No, we can scratch him off. And you whittle that list down, and you end up with a few potential names. It's a very rudimentary way of doing it, but it's probably not a million miles away from what people within football clubs do.
Give us some names then, Stu. You've shown you're working. Now let's hear the names. Don't have to give all of them, obviously.
Who do you want? Jason Knight would be very interesting.
Yep.
At Derby, I think Derby are going to have to sell some of their young talent this summer after missing out on promotion and getting back to the Championship. He's someone that's played, I think, 18 times already for the Republic of Ireland. Has played a lot of games for Derby at a young age. He's versatile as well. He can play centre mid, but he can play, I think he's played at fullback. I think he's played wide at times as well. So we know McKenna likes a versatile player, and he falls within that age bracket that he's someone that you could develop and improve and turn a profit on potentially further down the line. So he's someone that I put on there. Won't be short of Championship interest though, but Ipswich should be able to compete against most second tier clubs, you would have thought, financially.
Can we get Knight and Cash in on a double deal? That'd be nice, wouldn't it, Rossi? Splash some cash, get in there, just make it rain.
That'd be nice. Because, yeah, I'm sure they're going to be another transitional period for Derby as well, you know, with Paul Warne, with his first, like, summer of transfers. So they've, you know, lost McGoldrick already because he's gone back to Notts County, of course. But, yeah, there's a few players. I've read that story. That's, you know, check out everybody. It's a really good story of different players. And there's some there that I'm like, oh, my God, that would be...
Like who?
Like Ben Wiles, he's a player that I've liked for a while. You know at Rotherham, good age, when he's played against us, he's been unreal, isn't he, Stu? Definitely the Portland Road games. That was when we could never beat Rotherham. That was a Paul Warne side, of course. Yeah. So he's one that stands out for me, and he's proven it in the Championship now with Rotherham. So yeah, he's the one that stands out.
Yeah, I think he'd be very high on that list of ones that I've highlighted for me. He is that 12-month option taken on him. Last year, I think they turned down offers from Burnley for him. So if he was good enough for Vincent Kompany, he'd be good enough for Ipswich for sure. I think it was the first season after relegation. He's had two good games at Portman Road, but I think it was in the 2019 game where him and Lindsay in midfield just were all over Ipswich. You know, the physical. He's not a big lad, but he's physical. He gets stuck in and he's box to box and got some decent Championship experience with Rotherham now. And I think he's been public in saying that it took him a while to get his head around the fact that he couldn't go to Burnley last year. They've had to, they haven't been able to sort out a new contract with him. So that says to me that he might be someone that's on the move. And given what he's done against Ipswich, given the teams that have been after him before, he's one that sort of jumped up on the data dashboard.
Watson's data dashboard. So we've got Knight, we've got Wiles. Give us one more, Stewie. Give us a three. Give us one more.
Why don't I give you Luke O'Connell at Barnsley, who to me, was one of the best players in League One last season. He was sort of decent return of goals and assists from a deep lying midfield role. He was went up to Celtic for quite a lot of money at a young age and didn't quite make it there, and has come back down to Barnsley and was very, very good for them. And again, he's of a good age, and might be a little bit different. I don't know if there'd be room for him and Lee Evans, for example, in a central midfield unit, in terms of being sort of a deep lying playmaker, but he'd be sort of a younger version of Lee Evans. You know, if it was to be someone like that, you wonder whether it would put someone like Evans in a danger zone, whether the injuries that are stacked up against him is something that would go against him. I don't know, but there's three names on there. There's, I think, I've put eight on the list. So if you want to have a look at the rest of them, go and check out the piece.
Absolutely. And just while we're on the subject, you brought it up, Rossi. McGoldrick heading back to Notts County. What a coup that is for a side just promoted to League Two, to have a player of that quality who's just scored 25 goals. I think it's his best goal tally in his career. And he's going back to play down at Notts County. It's fantastic, isn't it? And I love the quote. I think there was a quote about, "I've decided to follow my heart," from McGoldrick, because obviously that's where he started his career. So there's a lovely kind of top and tailing of that.
That's a good story for Notts County as well, because they, went out of the Football League for the first time ever. And that was like, wow. And, getting out of that National League, is so difficult. You can see all the big teams in there. Even Wrexham, I know they were their story, and they're Hollywood, owners, but they've been down there for years and years and decades. It's great. I love that in football. Once again, sentiment in football, sometimes, get out the window, but I do love them sort of stories, because that's a great story there, because I think he made a few appearances for Notts County before moving to Southampton, and of course played against Town in the Youth Cup for Southampton, and of course we won. Happy days. It's a nice little story there. So hopefully he can now, how old is he now? 35, is he?
35, yeah.
Wow. And
Ross Hall scale. Completely past it.
But don't know what, I may have to move away from that, because I'm sure there'd be some players who'd be thinking, mate, come on, you're 26 and you're struggling on a five-a-side pitch. I'm playing week in, week out. So,
I'm a professional footballer and you're telling me to retire at 30.
Yeah.
McGoldrick, you're 35. Just retire, you donkey. Yeah.
But also, I'm also thinking about the human element, because retirement, in football, it's a long retirement because, you don't really have a long career, really. Definitely if you have my system, if you're 30, then you don't have a long career at all. But I'm trying to move away from that because, as Stu mentioned, no one mentioned, like, Zlatan just retired just now and he's 41, whatever. So, and it's just, the football is just different nowadays, and they've got all the best sport people. So, I'm going to try to move away from that this season.
Yeah, athletes generally, I think, can go on a lot longer than they ever used to. Clearly, sports science ever evolving. Stewie, let's return. I did something last week about players with a point to prove in the Championship, which was pretty well read and got some comments going. We talked about midfield there, the midfield model and Lee Evans and stuff. Lee Evans was on that list. So I thought I'd just chuck the names that I put together out and we can maybe chat around them, because I'm sure you've got some thoughts. So Lee Evans was on there. Don Ball was on there, obviously, in terms of their kind of injury history. I'd argue they've got points to prove at the next level. Clearly, they've played at the next level, so we know we can do that. But can they come back from injury and succeed? Cameron Burgess was on there. Which I feel like I'm picking on Cameron Burgess, but I do have concerns about him in the Championship. Who else was on there? George Edmondson clearly had his season ended by injury 2 years in a row. Freddie Ladapo was on there. Wes Burns was on there. And Marcus Harness was on there. So any of those names stand out for you, Stewie? I mean, I guess the standout name would be Wes Burns, in terms of saying he's got a point to prove, given that he's just been or is one of Town's star players. But it's a long time since he played in the Championship. And his game is predicated on pace and speed. And he's stepping up into a league where the players are going to be that little bit faster, a little bit more athletic, a little bit more physical, which is why he's on the list. What do you make to that seven? Have I been harsh? Have you got any concerns about any of them?
No, I read your piece and it was well reasoned on all of their counts. I mean, you could probably go through the whole squad and come up with reasons with points to prove. A lot of them are coming playing in the Championship for the first time or for the first time in a long time, as is the case with Wes Burns, who didn't quite really break through at Bristol City several years ago. That's probably the most surprising name I would have thought when people read that and gone, where's Burns? He's been one of our best players for the last two seasons. But yeah, it is, I think, the step up from League One to the Championship is a decent one, is one that shouldn't be underestimated. And yeah, for the reasons that you discussed in there, I think that's fair to say on all counts there.
Rossi, any stand out for you? How about Freddie Ladapo? Which I'll put him on the list because obviously we're talking, the whole narrative this summer is Town have got to find a starting striker. And he's a guy who's scored goals in the Championship before for a bad team. And also he's just come off a season where he scored 21 goals and only started 26 games, which is a fairly remarkable kind of return. And yet no one's saying he can be the man in the Championship. What do you make of him?
Yeah. He's only had one, you know, sole season in the Championship with Rotherham. Of course, they got relegated. And as you said, I wouldn't say they're a bad team. I think Rotherham, even though that this year they stayed up, so we'll be playing them next year. But Freddie, he's such a great character, isn't he? And I think he can play Championship football. I think he's sometimes a bit too nice, though. I don't think he uses his body as much as he should. But he has some like standout games last season, and like the goal against Charlton sort of proved on he is a big man, but he just turned his defender and just whacked it into the net. And I wanted to see more of that from Freddie. And of course, also, I think he needs to head a bit better as well, because we're chatting this in the KOA posse chat, and we're talking about he didn't really score many headers. I think he scored two headers, but they weren't like bullet headers. They're more like little, you know, poacher's goals, but I want to see a nice bullet head from him. But he's definitely a player that's got a point of proving in the Championship, because he's won sole season. He did score 9 goals, but I'm sure he would want to be the man, because he's, you know, he's Big Fred. So we shall see.
Yeah, his point to prove is, just as he was coming to form around Christmas time, it was still, oh, we need to sign another striker. I don't think Freddie... even before he'd kicked a ball for Ipswich, there was conversations we were having on this, and everyone was having, I don't know if he's going to be our main striker. You know, he's probably a good signing, but I don't know if he's going to be our main striker. And then that conversation happened again in January. We're having it again now. So he'll be, that will be his motivation. That will be his point to prove. And he has, you know, he scored 9 goals in, did you say, Ross, in a team that was relegated from the Championship? Mm. That's not a bad return. So every single one of them, and I guess all athletes, elite athletes, will always find a reason to kind of self-motivate. It's that kind of Michael Jordan Last Dance thing. You have to find something within you, whether it's a slight externally that you manage to exaggerate in your mind, or whether it's a player putting competition, whether it's he's not done it at that level. They'll all have things. Like Connor Chaplin, for example, it's that his thing now is, right, can I be better than last season? You know, he's talking about that. Can I? It's a big ask, but you've always going to want to be better. Can it's that second season syndrome when Wes Burns was player of the year, swept all the player of the year awards and got 13 goals. He sat on that media podium with Kieran McKenna after the final game. Was it the 4-0 win against Charlton that finished the season before last? And the two of them were immediately talking about, right, it's about backing it up now, it's about being better, that's done. It's so they'll all find little things to motivate them. Connor Chaplin talking about the way Barnsley kind of let him go after they finished fifth in the Championship, and that will be a little motivation and a point to prove for him. All of them, Caden Jackson, someone who, you know, the ones that were part of the team that got relegated in 2018 will now want to prove that they come back better players and better equipped and as part of far better functioning side, that, you know, that wasn't a fair reflection of them as second tier footballers. So hopefully they've all got a little bit of a point to prove and will be feeling that hunger going into the season.
Rossi, am I being harsh on the centre backs? Burgess is someone I keep mentioning, largely because of that game at Barrow. I know he's improved a lot, but I've still got that kind of scarred indelibly on my mind. Clearly, he has to prove. I don't think he's played in the Championship since 2014. with Fulham. So that's a long time ago. He's obviously made huge improvements under McKenna. Have you got the same sort of concerns around both Burgess and Edmondson? Clearly had injury issues as well.
I wouldn't say concerns. I'm like, oh no, if they're starting the first game of the season, oh god, the team who we play is going to put four against us. Because I think, you know, Wolfenden has improved so much. Even last time he played in the Championship, he's grown older. But I think Burgess, as we said before, he's transformed his game. You know, before he was that hairy ass defender that still wants and loves. Sorry, Stu. Always have to say it. Because McKenna has worked with him. All the coaching staff have worked with him to improve his game. He's not that just that. Yeah, basically boot up the field, header, win everything. He still does that, of course, but he does also play with the ball really well, and he is left-sided as well. So, yeah, I think I'm not too concerned now with Burgess. Emerson, I do feel for him because these injuries, you know, is just, yeah, both back-to-back seasons is cut his season short. So that's maybe one concern, and he just needs to get fully up to speed once again in pre-season and see, because he has played Championship football, hasn't he, George Emerson?
Yeah, he played for Derby, didn't he?
He did indeed. Yeah, he did it under Wayne Rooney, of course.
Yeah.
So I'm not too concerned, but I think it is a position we need to strengthen in, of course, because out of those three senior centre halves, they've only got a handful of Championship games with them. So, backtrack here. I'll be concerned if they are only three options that we have going into the first few games.
If you don't add anyone, yeah.
Yeah, I would be a little bit concerned because they've not played much Championship football. So, yeah, get that bit of business done early, please.
There's a group of players that have probably got a point to prove in terms of showing that they are good enough and deserve to be part of this ambitious project. But there's another group that whose point to prove is they're in a very big shop window now in the Championship, where a lot of eyes across not just English football but Europe are looking for emerging talent. You look at the England squad and how many of them have kind of made their name in the Championship prior. So people like Leif Davis, Luke Wolfenden, others that are in Harry Clark, are in that sort of age group that feel that they can really kick on and go on even beyond the Championship. That is their point to prove now, that they are good enough to do that. Ipswich should be pretty fired up for this season on all counts, on all fronts, hopefully.
It's exciting, isn't it? And what I love most about whenever you hear the players talk, and I know obviously a lot of it is kind of cliches and stuff, but they all seem to have really bought into this whole kind of process and getting better and marginal gains and all that kind of stuff, right the way down from McKenna, his coaches, Morsey is obviously always talking about it. And that mindset, when you've got a group of already talented athletes willing to embrace the challenge of getting better, not content to rest on their laurels, is what they call a growth mindset, isn't it? So that's very exciting to have that attached to the club. One more thing before we move on to mailbag, we should probably just mention by way of news, which happened down the road yesterday. Clearly the Derby returns next season, and Stuart Webber will be leaving. He's got a 12-month notice period. I think he told the club at the start of the year that he was leaving. But having had a chat with our colleagues across the border, and I did something recently with Connor, who is the chief Norwich City writer for the EDP, I get the sense, boys, that they're worried about the Derby's next season. Obviously, Norwich, you'd say, a little bit in disarray with... They kind of slumped to 13th last season. Now Webber's leaving. He's been very divisive recently. Questions around the boss. Can they keep their best players this summer? How are you feeling about this, Stewie? Because I definitely get the sense that this is the season where the balance is starting to kind of tilt again.
I remember saying that at the start of the 2014-15 season as well. We talked a bit then about maybe the tides are turning, but yeah, it feels a lot more substance behind it this time. They've certainly, whether it's a slump or disarray, whether it's as strong as that at Norwich, but it's certainly the end of a cycle for them, isn't it? I certainly remember last summer the narrative around them was certainly nationally was, oh, what's the point in Norwich? They'll just walk the Championship again next year and come straight back down. People had just decided that that was going to happen year after year. And I think I said on here, there's no guarantee they'll keep getting promoted. Given the, you know, the funds, you're not going to keep finding a Teemu Pukki every few years. You're not going to keep producing Max Aarons and people every few years. And it feels like they've come to the end of their cycle. Their money is not big enough for the current game. It feels like they're hitting a bit of an Ipswich Town cycle, and they're now going for some sort of more pragmatic type signings, free transfers, experienced players, people like Ashley Barnes and Shane Duffy. It's certainly going to feel very different when this fixture comes. Before, and it was Ipswich, it was Mick McCarthy and Christoph Berra picked up on a free, and you know, Daryl Murphy having to kind of have the season of his life a little bit later in his career, all those sort of things. But Ipswich felt like the underdogs going into those games, where Norwich were spending a bit of money, and yeah, it's going to feel like the boots on the other foot this time around.
The interesting thing as well that Connor was saying in that piece, and go back and read it if you've not read it, is the way the fans feel about the club. It's very similar to how Town fans maybe felt under Evans. They kind of feel increasingly disconnected and kind of ignored.
That took a lot longer for it to get to that stage under Ipswich. And there was, across the border, it was, Norwich fans were quite ready to sort of take the piss and were kind of, do you remember there was the sarcastic applause in the, was it like the 12th minute to kind of acknowledge it, which is 12 years in the Championship or whatever it was, or 60, however many years it was. And that they thought that Ipswich fans had sort of had hit the apathetic stage a bit too quickly and were taking the mickey out of the attendances and stuff like that. That took the best part of a decade for Ipswich to get to that point. Norwich have really had their first one, I know, disastrous season. Finish. I know they've been relegated from the Premier League, but the first time they've hit mid-table in the Championship and had a bit of a meh, nothing season for the first time in ages. And the attendances are dropping, and there's protests and things like that. So, just goes to show maybe they might look back on sort of the Ipswich mood a few years ago a little bit differently. Now they're going through a bit of it themselves.
Yeah, the one line I took away from that piece, which is basically me and Connor talking about various parts of factors going into next season, into the summer. Connor said that first derby feels crucial for Norwich. And the mood music. So, yeah, keep that in mind, friends. And, of course, we'll find out a week tomorrow when those derbies will be. And I want to jump into mailbag now and take a first question around that. I'm going to come to you, Ross. But first of all, obviously, we have to do the... There we go. There you go, Hutchie. Obviously, you won't listen anymore. Rossi, Matt wants to know, you're in control of who Ipswich play in the first five games. So... tremendous power you've got. Who do we play? We know the first game, we don't know, but they've certainly requested it to be away, and I can't see any reason why that would be denied. So who would you pick if you had a run of five games? Would you stick the derby in that five games?
Yeah, I would, actually. Maybe the fifth one, just so we're settled in the Championship and stuff, and that could be a nice... I think that would be with the fifth game. Would that be in the end of August? Maybe I'm trying to think how it would. Could it be a midweek game? Anyway, I'm thinking too much into it. It'll be my fifth game, the last out of those five.
And would that be at home?
Yes, home. Yeah, because I think that's always the go-to. I think it's normally we get the home game first, and then the away games in like February or March. So yeah, that'd be good. I think it'll be nice to play maybe one of the relegated Premier League teams first, so away trip to Leicester maybe. So that's my choice. Then home game against Huddersfield. No, two away games. Sorry, my bad. Do you know what? Let's get a long journey out of the way. Let's get Middlesbrough, Plymouth, one of those. Yep. I'm gonna go for Middlesbrough. McKenna, yep. Carrick going head to head. Then home game, I'm going for Huddersfield because Neil Warnock getting confirmed today. He's gonna be there for one more year. That story. And then another away trip, London away trip in the sunshine, Millwall, why not? And that little, you know, the den. And then Norwich at home.
Just got a feeling that Friday night, August the 4th, Leicester City away, Leeds away, something like that. That would be big on the Sky cameras. Stewie, if you had the power, what five would you pick?
Got very similar logic to Ross here. I think, yeah. Norwich towards the end of that, but I think I'd take Norwich away. I think given everything we've discussed around Norwich and them being, let's be honest, they're nervy about this game. And if they get off to a bit of a sticky start, go there, get maybe some fans running on the pitch and ripping up their season tickets, something like that. That would be good. I think one of the teams that missed out in the playoffs early on, because they're still licking their wounds a little bit, someone like Coventry or Sunderland. Maybe Coventry away from home is a little bit less of a cauldron of noise than the Stadium of Light, while they're still kind of getting themselves sorted again after losing in the playoff final. London away, I like the sound of that, but I think I might go for QPR. They're a club that look like they're in a world of pain at the moment. I think they could go there and kick them while they're down early on. And one of the teams that has just come down while they're still, you know, in August, they're probably still trying to sell players and bring players in, and there'll be a new manager at all three of those clubs still trying to get their ideas across. So out of those three, maybe Southampton might be the one to face early on. I don't know, but yeah, I like Ross's logic.
We'll find out a week tomorrow, Thursday 22nd, 9 a.m. Kevin Mays, excuse me, Benson's barking. Kevin Mays wants to know, Hutch left weeks ago. No new signing announced yet. Are the Kings getting jittery about his replacement? Why is it taking so long? Can we get an exclusive when the new King will be signed and announced to the fans? Don't get jittery. The deal is done. There's some holiday period needs to be taken, which is why the new King has yet to be crowned, coronated. We are still in negotiations with Bury Cathedral as well for that big event. But the new King will arrive in that first week of July, all things being equal, Kevin. So watch this space for the announcement.
Is it like football show, that we won't contracts always have to start on July the 1st in football?
Yeah.
We've exactly got pre-contract agreement in place, is what you're saying, yeah?
Yeah. It's all done. It's all done and dusted.
Transfer three thrashed out?
Well, again, it's commercially sensitive, so I can't really talk about that. But we've kind of gone to the bigger clubs, haven't we, Stu? For the new King. So yeah, he'll be arriving soon. Watch this space. Ben Diath wants to know, morning Kings, lots of TV chatter recently, best series, shows, etc. If you're only allowed to watch one episode of any TV show again, just one, which one would it be? And he says, if you're asking, mine would be The Office. So curry favour with you, Stu. It's pathetic, Ben, you've done this. The Office training episode, series one, episode four would be his pick. So Stu, we know, I mean, last night was beautiful to see you and Hutchie back together, because you started quoting The Office at each other for a period of that meal. If you could only watch one TV episode again, what would it be?
Ben's got the correct answer. There is no Room 364. Go and get the guitar. Yes, you know I'm The Office through and through. If it had to be one ever, it would be that.
Rossi, how about you?
And by the way, people on the curtain as well, Heathy, Stu and Andy were wearing similar outfits,
yeah,
weren't they?
That was also a bit weird. So they obviously had not actually seen each other for a little while. Clearly no longer converse every minute of every day. And yet they turned up rocking pretty much exactly the same outfit, which I thought was kind of spooky.
It's 3-6-2, by the way. I've let
myself down. I can't believe you just checked that. Oh, dear, you've let yourself down. Let yourself down badly.
Big time.
Absolutely.
We did walk in wearing basically the same clothes.
Yeah, it was spooky. Just hold on, I'm going to have to let Benson out. He's managed to get himself trapped in there.
I'll let the viewers know my answer.
Yeah, you do it.
It's a tricky question, though. Good question, Ben, because, yeah, there's loads of TV shows we all love. I've gone for, not even, it's before my time, but I love Only Fools and Horses. I love it. So Jolly Boys Outen is always a good episode. I always enjoy that episode, so that's probably up there. Or Heroes and Villains when they dress up as Batman and Robin. That's a good one as well.
That is an iconic shot of British TV history, isn't it? That one. What's Jolly Boys Outing? What's that one?
When they go on a jolly, they go to Margate.
Okay.
As you know, and loads of things happen. The coach blows up. Spoilers. So if you haven't watched it,
sorry for the Only Fools and Horses spoilers. If you're still working your way through them,
what was that like 35 years ago? I think we're safe for a spoiler now.
Yeah, but you never know. You never know. I think Hutchie said he's never watched it, although he's never.
Well, Hutchie's not watched anything, has he? We got talking about stuff last night, and it did emerge he's not seen any of the John Wick films, which is a scandal. If I could only watch one single episode of TV again, it would probably be the finale of Breaking Bad. I think that's as good a finale or episode of TV that there's ever been. That was perfect. And for me, Breaking Bad remains the single best TV series ever. But yeah, as I said recently, Succession, if you've never seen it, that's right up there. So get involved in that. And I also watched something really good on BBC iPlayer recently called Blue Lights. I don't know if any of you boys have seen that. It's like a cop show set in Ireland, Northern Ireland. It's very, very good indeed. So go and get involved in that if you've not seen it. Let's stick with the TV/movie theme. Rodney Marshall asks about Chaplin. Obviously, we talked about that. Then he asks, on a different note, what's your favourite sport-themed movie? And he's included a picture there of Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams, which is where the guy builds a baseball field in his yard, and ghosts come to play baseball. Which is honestly, it's better than I've made it sound. It wouldn't be my favourite sports movie. Rossi, what's your favourite sports movie?
If you build it, they will come. That's the quote.
That's the quote.
There's a few, actually. You know, Mean Machine, Vinnie Jones is really good. It's just fun, isn't it? It's a fun film, okay? It's not going to win an Oscar or anything. It's just a fun film.
Have you seen the original with Burt Reynolds from back in the day?
Yeah.
Because I would say that's better, but there we go.
Yeah. And of course, there's like Adam Sandler's done one as well, like The Longest Yard. Once again, that's just a fun film, all right? Just a fun film. Mike Bassett, England manager. It's pretty good. Another fun film. And then there's actually a film. And Coach Carter, of course. Coach Carter is great. Good soundtrack. But one film I've actually only recently watched, and it came out like in 2016, called Bleed for This, which is a boxing film. And it's about Vinny Panzena. No, I've got
completely... Pazienza.
That's the word. And he's got a great story, hasn't he? Because
I've heard that's really good. It took it off Netflix by the time I'd heard about it, which is a shame. But he had an incredible story. He was seriously injured in a car accident, wasn't he? And managed to get back to boxing. Okay, that's a recommendation I'll take on board. Stewie, how about yourself?
Sports films can be very hit and miss.
Oh, God, can they?
Can't they? Moneyball was good. Yep. That was very faithful to the book. I read the book many years ago when A.D. Boothroyd was Colchester manager and I was covering them, and that was his Bible. So I read that, and then the film came out, and they made a decent job of converting that into the film.
That was with Brad Pitt as Billy Bean, wasn't it? It is a really good book. I kind of went into it thinking it was going to be really statty, because baseball is probably the most statty of all sports, but it was actually a good read. I've got two favorite sports films. As you say, Stewie, there are lots of really bad ones. If you're looking for kind of a documentary style film, When We Were Kings is brilliant, which came out years after The Rumble in the Jungle, with some kind of archive footage, really, really good footage of Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. I'd highly recommend that. One of the kind of the biggest sports events ever, in terms of kind of status and what it meant at the time. And the other one I really like is Invictus, which is the story of South Africa winning the Rugby World Cup in 1995. It's got Morgan Freeman in as Mandela and Matt Damon in as the captain of South Africa, Francois Pienaar. That's a really, really good film. And again, pretty faithful to the book, The 12th Man, which is an excellent read. So those would be my two recommendations. George from Fran wants to know, Stewie, what are the Kings' early season predictions for our finish in the championship? And what's your favourite halftime food?
I like a little bit of something sweet at halftime, bit of sugar.
I bet you do.
to get me going for the second half.
Yeah.
I think we've mentioned Barry, our travel companion, who sometimes does the co-coms on Radio Suffolk. He always brings the snacks, and sometimes he brings a nice little bit of shortbread. Goes lovely with a cup of tea or coffee at half time. You're going to make me predict where Ipswich are finishing in the championship.
I'm not making
now.
You, mate. George is making you. That's what he's
doing. Cheers, George.
We are merely just conduits to the people.
Top half. That's all I'll commit to right now.
Rossi, what are you going to say?
Wouldn't lead, boy. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Yeah, top half. I'll be happy with top half. So in half-time food, yeah, I always bring us some snacks. So Jaffa cake, of course. Jaffa cake.
Anything you can get your hands on, I'd imagine, for you, Rossi.
That as well. I've actually been given...
You did leave a lot of your curry last night because you took up space in your belly with all the pints that you were sinking.
But I also mentioned I had a meal with my friend at lunchtime. I had pasta. So, yeah, a lot of carbs.
You had pasta and chips.
You had pasta and chips, which is just demented. I've never heard of that before.
I think that's maybe why I was drinking more, because I was trying to get that down me and then I can have room for the curry. But no.
Okay. Interesting logic. Yeah. I'm going to say top 10 town next season. Favorite halftime food. Some sort of peanutty bar vibe. Big into like a Snickers at halftime, for example, or like one of them kind of artisan posh peanut and chocolate bars, them kind of things. Like a little sweet treat, just like Stu at halftime. Chris O'Reilly, is there a definitive date and time this summer that perfectly represents the balls on the table moment for Ashton? Is it 1 minute before the deadline, or is it right at the start where he makes a clear statement? I personally would probably say towards the start of the window. We know he likes to get his business done early, so I reckon that's the time when he uses his Manscaped weed whacker to make sure he's nice and trim, and then slaps him on the boardroom table and makes it rain.
I think it's when they sign the marquee striker. That's the definitive balls on the table moment.
Yeah.
Thud. This player played in the Premier League last season. And we've just spent X million pounds to get them.
Of course, obviously, I'm assuming that as part of the recruitment process, Hutchie did get the treatment. So maybe
I've committed to the sentence now. I'll go with, did he put his balls on the table, or did he witness his new employer's balls on the table?
Maybe it's a mutual thing.
Maybe they both did it at the same time.
You show me yours. I'll
we
show
should
you
have
mine.
Asked last night.
We should have done. Yeah, that was another thing that we didn't get to. Right then, a couple more. Richard Tatterton wants to know, what's the best book you've recently read, and which town player do you think could put pen to paper and produce a bestseller? Who wants to take this one? Shall I kick off?
Yeah.
The best book I've recently read is Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain, who, if you don't know who he was, he started as a chef, a proper chef, and wrote a book called Kitchen Confidential about his time as a chef, which is brilliantly written, really, really good, and then went on to be basically something of a raconteur and world traveller, and produced many books and TV series, Parts Unknown, all that kind of stuff. Always worth watching Anthony Bourdain stuff. Very, very interesting guy. Very, very interesting guy. Sadly no longer with us. So that was the best book I read recently. In terms of the town player who could pen the best book, I think someone like Connor Chaplin. Connor Chaplin's an interesting, thoughtful sort of guy, interested in a lot of things. So I'd say Connor Chaplin. If you're watching on video, you'd have seen that Ross has just vanished.
Just panicked.
Just literally left the screen. So Stu, how about you? Have you read any good books recently?
I like my Michael Calvin when it comes to sports books, and I just read Whose Game Is It Anyway, which was one he sort of penned during lockdown, which was a bit of a love letter to football. And so, yeah, all the Michael Calvin books are good. And I'm currently reading a book about the history of the SAS, which is quite interesting. SAS Rogue Heroes, which is loosely based around the series that was on BBC recently.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm enjoying that.
Paddy Mayne, isn't it?
Very good.
The kind of iconic soldier. Yeah, excellent. That was really good. I'd be interested to see if the book matches up, Stewie. Normally, I'd say that books exceed films / TV series. I guess you read the book first. Rossi, have you read any good books recently?
That's one reason why I went and tried trying to find it. That's not because I was like going to sort of throw it up or you know, the other way. Because I couldn't remember what it was. I've let myself down really in terms of I really need to start reading a bit more because I do actually enjoy reading, to be fair. But yeah, the only book I've recently read, and it's not really a book, to be fair, it's basically this. So Interesting Stories for Curious People. And it's just, it's a big book. It's, no pictures in it. It's just all words.
No pictures, boy. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What's one of the interesting stories in there, Rossi?
I can't remember. It's been a while since I read it. It was like I got it bought for a Christmas present, and I think that Sasha got it for me. She went, "You need to start reading more." So here's this is a starter book for you, and haven't moved on. But I'll recommend me some listeners. Recommend me a few books to read. I do like biographies. Biographies of sportsmen or just general people. So any of those would be good.
If you're looking for recommendations, friends, obviously it's summer holiday period coming up. For sports books specifically, I would recommend The Fight, if you've not read it, by Norman Mailer, which is, in my opinion, is the best sports book ever written around the Rumble in the Jungle, actually. Norman Mailer wrote about sport in a way that no one has really before or since. So I'd highly recommend that. And also The 12th Man I mentioned earlier, that is a brilliant sports book. Some really, really powerful stuff in there. Have you got any you could recommend? Oh, the other one is Provided You Don't Kiss Me, which is the guy who covered Nottingham Forest under Brian Clough, which is a brilliant, brilliant book, especially if you're interested in football and journalism. I'd recommend that. Any from you, Stu, just to throw out there for people?
Let's have a little look at my down here. What else have I read recently? If you haven't read this... 38 Sleeps by Michael Bacon.
He's not with us anymore, mate. We don't have to promote him anymore.
Well, we can still plug. It's a very good look. It's a big old read, that. 38 Sleeps by Michael Bacon. It's a rip-roaring whodunit.
A romp.
This is quite good. Story of Joe Royal's Oldham. This is How It Feels by Mike Keegan. That's a good read. If you want another football recommendation...
I should also mention at this point that Carl Fuller, our columnist, has asked us to point out that he's got a new book available called The Game Changers, which is about the promotion season. I understand from Carl it's selling incredibly well. And it's got some excellent cover art from our old friend Brad at Glory Days Artwork of McKenna being thrown into the air. So if that's the sort of thing that floats your boat, get in touch with Carl. I think he's on Twitter, The Fuller Flavour. Get involved in that, get a book from him. And I think he'll sign it for a small fee of £100, which seems really good value. I think that's right, isn't it, Carl? You let me know if that's wrong. Stu's now digging into his crates. You got any more? Is that
no?
Okay. Let's proceed. Let's take two more questions. Okay. Let's finish with this one. Reese Curtis, you're going on a road trip for 7 days across America, and you can bring two celebrities with you. You have to spend every minute of the trip with them. Who do you bring? Now I've got a bit of a concern about this question. When you say every minute, Reese, does that mean when you're having private time, kind of dropping off the kids, as it were? Because I'll be honest, I'm not up for that with anyone. I don't want anyone following me to the Kazi, sitting there while I'm going about my business. So I can't think of anyone I'd like to have with me in that scenario. Even my nearest and dearest, I wouldn't want there. Celebrities, though, for a road trip. Rossi, have you got any thoughts? You'd obviously take Riri.
Yeah, maybe. No, I'm trying to go away from that. You know, other questions, I'll use Riri. Yeah. Of course, they need to drive, obviously. Honestly. I'm now part of the joke. So I'm going
across America. Can you come with me? Because I can't drive. We'll go Route 66.
pretty much. One person in particular, you know what? Denzel Washington, the actor.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of his work. Just a big fan of his movies. I think he's got great stories, and he's got a good voice as well. Like Morgan Freeman, of course, another one. He's got a great voice. Mm. But I just feel he's very calm, Denzel. Well, even though some of his Denzel. He'd just be calm and just have a good time.
So you got Denzel. Who else are you having?
You could also have just Denzel from Only Fools and Horses as well.
Yeah. Have you seen there's going to be a full Monty series? Because he was in by the way.
On Disney, I think it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Because obviously the film years ago was massive, wasn't it?
It was.
Hope that's not terrible. So you're having Denzel Washington and Denzel for Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, why not?
Fair enough. Stewie, have you got any thoughts on this?
If we're having a road trip, conjures up images of America and Route 66. Mm-hmm. So
you've done a road trip in America, haven't you?
Couple of little road trips. Yeah. So I want somebody who knows America.
Mm-hmm.
What about Barack Obama? He'd be some incredible stories to be told there.
Yeah, that is a brilliant shout.
So we'll get him involved.
I want him as well.
I don't know. You can't. He's taken. don't know. Who else can we get him?
Do you know what
who would blend with Barack?
On a road trip, just purely from an interest point of view, I really like Steve Backshall. You know, the guy who goes swimming with sharks and climbs up mountains and all sorts. I reckon he'd be super interesting to spend some time with. And obviously, I'd imagine there's a good range of wildlife across America that he could get explained to you and you'd learn while you were traveling. So I'd go with Steve Batchelor and Barack Obama. I'm having Barack.
Let's just get Attenborough involved then. If we're going to get some sort of nature guide going.
The thing is with Attenborough, you'd have to stop a lot, wouldn't you? He's like 95, so he'd probably need the toilet. Come on, Dave. It's only 20 minutes. Christ. No offense meant to the national treasure, David Attenborough. That's a good shout, though. I think Barack Obama is the shout, right? On a road trip across America. Someone who would be extremely interesting and would open a lot of doors in terms of places to go, things to see, people to meet. So, yeah, there we go then. Right then, friends, that's going to bring an end to Mailbag this week. We've just come up to an hour. Hope you enjoyed the show. Rossi, I usually ask at this point what we've got coming up interview-wise. We had Fabian Wilnis on Sunday, which went very well indeed. It was really good, actually. And he had a little message, didn't he, for Town players ahead of the derby, which I liked. Who's coming up this weekend, and what else can we look forward to from the world of Roscoe?
Pim. Good old Pim Bolkestein. Now a character, now a Dutch player, of course, that ends the Dutch tour. Because, when that goes out, that is the four players done and dusted from the trip. So, good shout of him. Played under Magilton, Keane. Some good stories, good memories. And as we said before, we filmed it at Sparta Rotterdam Stadium. And I've just seen Maurice Stijn, who was once linked to Town. He's now the Ajax manager. He was at Rotterdam manager. He's now moved over to Ajax. So
he was one of your mates, wasn't he, back in the day, Stewie? Maurice?
Yeah, our old friend Maurice Stijn, who was if people remember, he was the man that was leading the fans' polls as who they wanted to take over as Mick McCarthy by quite a long way. Mm. I think the fact that he was just a Dutchman appealed to people. And, there were sort of weird rumours swirling about, which no one could really kind of, including Maurice, couldn't really work out where they'd come from. But I managed to get hold of him and speak to him. And he put out a bit of a come and get me to Ipswich at the time. Never got as far as being spoken to or interviewed. And, here he is. Has he been appointed now? Is he? Is that official?
Yeah.
Who was that other guy you spoke to, Stu? It was the head coach of a little Caribbean country. Can you remember his name? He threw his
Gary,
hat.
Gary White, his
threw
name
his
was.
Hat very boldly into the ring, didn't he?
Yeah, that was interesting. I should look up what he's done now. He's kind of managed teams in Japan and various small international nations, hadn't he? That was a strange time. The long search for Mick McCarthy's successor.
Trip down memory lane. Right then, friends, just a reminder then to support our sponsors, use the code CARRY at manscaped.com. They've extended for another 3 months, boys. So hopefully we'll have some new gear, some new gadgets on the way to us. You get 20% off and free delivery on all the excellent stuff on their website there. Get your body trimmed up and nice and neat for the summer. And also Ginger Pickle, obviously, Tony Southgate and the boys there. Any help you need with your Google Ads, your SEO, your digital advertising, all that kind of stuff, Google rankings. Tony and his team are the guys to speak to. So Google, Ginger Pickle, get involved with them. I am actually off now for 2 weeks, friends. So I'll leave you in the capable hands of Stewie and Rossi. Next week, clearly, we have the fixtures. Then we've got a friendly, haven't we? The first friendly of the season. 2 weeks on Saturday, unbelievably. Obviously, we have to have the kit before then. So we're heading into an exciting time, and hopefully you can follow it all with us. Anything else to mention, boys?
No other business.
No other business. Have a good week, everybody.
Yes. And also, please, we've not had a five-star review for a little while, other than any people praising Andy's wisdom. But he's old news now, so we don't want reviews praising Andy. He's no longer with us. So if you could leave us a five-star review, that helps lift our visibility in the iTunes charts and helps more people find us. And Ross has thought of something.
Sorry. Did Stu give you the
No, drink? He did not. He did not, no. He promised me he'd give me all the tequila that Chappers, Ben Chaplin, wasn't it? Brought over for us. He was just showing it me in the virtual green room. The incredible array, Ben, by the way. Very, very generous of you, of things to get drunk and also burn your insides with, hot sauce-wise, which looked great. But no, again, Stewie failed to give me the bounty that it's due to me, quite frankly. But thank you, Ben. Very, very generous. And good shout, Ross. We needed to mention that. Right then, friends, have a good couple of weeks. I'll be back after my break. Hopefully, to come back to news of signings and new kits and all that kind of stuff. Have a great time, whatever you're doing, and we'll speak to you next time.
Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.